What is true godly repentance? What does it mean to actually come to the Lord and receive his forgiveness and turn from your sins and then live a refreshed life full of faith, full of expectation, full of hope? Because I could try to bring about something with my faith, but if I'm living in doubt, if I'm living in fear, if I'm living in anything of sin, then that's going to try to taint my conscience. That's going to try to taint my ability to be in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
So true repentance is saying, Lord, I don't want that. Like, I was walking this way, but I don't want to walk that way anymore. Mm-hmm. I want to turn from that and be in your presence.
Yeah.
Well, and those of you who are connected to this ministry, you've been around here a long time, you are well aware that the Lord, through this particular vine, often brings about things to help us to grow. Like, I've said it for a while, Deb has actually like coined it too. We're a very stretchy ministry, mm-hmm. because if we're not changing, if we're not growing, like if we're not increasing, we're not growing. And you can't grow unless you change. Well, changing at its core is repenting and picking a new course.
Yeah.
Because the original word, like in the original language, repentance means to turn. Like, that's all it means. It's not necessarily the wailing and the gnashing of teeth. It's not penance.
Right.
It's just turning.
Right.
We were going in one direction, and with new wisdom from God, new revelation of God's love, we're going to turn and go the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Because we love the Lord. So at its core, Boomerang Church is Boomerang International. We're a ministry where repentance is at the forefront of our conversation,
mm-hmm.
because not to live in a life of condemnation, because that's not repentance, because we love the Lord and we want to be pleasing to him.
Yeah.
Like that's what, and Jesus was all about repentance. Like in one of his times, I think through Damascus, when he was preaching, the whole core of his message was repent.
Yeah.
Like that was the heart of John the Baptist. Repent. Why? Not to bring someone to a place of condemnation,
yeah.
but so that way we'll realize we were operating on this level. There's a turning point that needs to come because there's a higher level of operation that Jesus has made available to us. And if we won't turn from our old ways, we will never hit the heights that God has. But turning doesn't have to be a pain.
Right.
Turning doesn't have to be a deep sacrifice where it hurts us and we're bemoaning for a month and we've cried a certain amount of ounces of tears. And then after a certain point, then we step into joy.
Right.
No, repenting should bring with it an immediate source of expectation. It should bring with it an immediate source of joy,
right.
because all repentance is doing is bringing us closer to the Father, bringing us closer to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, even yesterday's broadcast, there were so many points throughout the word that I believe the Lord was showing me, this is an area that you could repent in. This is an area that you could repent in. And to someone that doesn't truly understand repentance, that could seem like a weight.
Sure.
That could seem like, oh my gosh, I have all these things to work on. I have all these things that I need to fix. Oh, how am I ever going to do this? But with his help, it's easy. It's just, okay, Lord, like I take that correction and I move forward in faith and in joy. I'm turning from that. I don't want to do that anymore. I receive your help to do that and the empowerment to do that. So true repentance, like you just said, it's not condemnation. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And if Jesus ministered repentance, then we should live a life of repentance. It shouldn't be this big word that's scary. You brought that up before the word, like, oh, repent. Like, there's a lot of people that will stand on the side of the road and tell them, repent or you're going to go to hell. That's not true.
It's true, but it's not the package.
It's not the whole package. Like, if you don't repent from your sin and receive Jesus, that will happen. But it's not something to fear. It's not something to take as a weight. It's not something to think that God won't bless you, I guess, because of it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe you can help.
Well, It's what we were just saying a second ago. Repentance carries with it a promise.
Right.
And that's the key for this broadcast today. Seth, give me 1 second. We're going to pray for your niece. No, we'll just do it now. Lord, I thank you for this month-old baby. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We send the word now. Healing be in her body in the name of Jesus. Yeah. We thank you that any weapon formed against her right now through the partnership that Seth has with this ministry, we call for healing to be in her body. We call for the anointing to be in that hospital room, and we call for every bit of that sickness of RSV to break, the power of it to break off of her body, and we call for healing to be now in the name of Jesus, and let it be quick, a sign and a wonder, and let the joy of God, Seth, right now, if you can, just begin to praise the Lord, because God's healing power will flow through you. It's going to flood in that hospital room. And we thank you that that healing virtue touches his niece now in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
But repentance, as we were talking about, repentance carries a promise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it carries a promise right now. I have a promise that if I will just go to Jesus, I will have everything that he has.
Yeah.
If I need to repent, literally, it's not this great big scary word. Like, so often we'll hear people talking about, well, I got rebuked today. Almost like they got a badge of, I got rebuked. That's the big scary word. Or like, man, I got really hard corrected. Who cares what word you use? Yeah. Is it pointing me to Jesus? Then consider it all joy.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, that verse has been coming up to me. It came up to me when we were talking about correction a week or two ago. It just came back up to me. Consider it all joy. Mm-hmm. If God brings up something that we were doing wrong, consider it joy.
Right.
Because all that means is, as soon as I choose him, I'm going to be close to him.
Yeah.
And when I seek him first, all is added to me. There's nothing bad in repentance. Other than whatever I had been doing, for a moment it robbed me from him. But God's a restorer and a redeemer. Even in all the time I wasted doing the wrong action, God will restore to me the years that the cankerworm is stolen.
Yeah.
He's a restorer, a redeemer. He is faithful. He's so good. And even though for a moment in Hebrews 12:11, the discipline of God that leads us to repentance seems to not be joyful, that discipline carries a promise. And that discipline promise is peaceful fruit of right standing with the Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If I will accept that discipline, if I'll accept and the basically the challenge to repent and I'll do the repenting out of love for God, all I'm going to eat is peace.
Yeah.
All I'm going to feast upon is right standing with God.
Yeah.
Where's the bad in that?
Right.
There is none. Except to the flesh that wants to have its own way, which we talked about on Monday.
Yeah.
Like, on Monday, we're talking about how the flesh is just a toddler who wants to be in control. The flesh doesn't, put this in the comments, the flesh doesn't get a say in my life.
Right.
The flesh doesn't get to have an opinion on what I do. The flesh is crucified, and I choose the Lord every time, no matter what I think about it. And if I have a moment where I have chosen incorrectly, I just quickly turn, quickly admit it, get it out of my system, confess it, get it before the light of God, and just keep walking toward the light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he'll handle any of the mess ups.
Yeah.
He's so faithful. Like, there's nothing bad in it.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll hear, okay, you need to repent, and I'm so sorry, God. I failed you. And that's not what he wants.
Mm-mm.
He doesn't say, come whining before the throne of grace. Yeah. He says, come boldly before the throne of grace. Come in like you own the place.
Yep.
I want to hear from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and so what are we talking about today? We haven't actually said the verse. So the verse that we're talking about, you can put it in the comments.
We're talking about so many verses.
Yes, but we didn't actually. So just so you guys know, like, why are you talking about repentance in the presence of the Lord? Like, what is that? How is that connected? It's actually Acts 3, which this verse came up to you, was Acts 3:19. Yeah. So this is what biblically why we know repentance is so wonderful, because it's not been modeled as wonderful by the world, but actually the word says in Acts 3:19, therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And how cool is that? That in this verse is the promise of the word that we got, that the Lord gave to Pastor Brian over 2024. I'm saying it like so professionally, but over 2024 2024 will be the year of his presence. So the Lord right now is setting us up for his presence.
Yeah.
And one way to be set up for his presence is to abide by this verse. It says, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So we want to be in the presence of the Lord.
Right.
And God wants to give us times of refreshing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the precursor to that is repenting.
Yeah.
And a verse that was coming up to me, and the Lord showed me this last night, because he's been talking about repentance. He's been talking about faith. Mm-hmm. But even being in faith takes a repentance of, I was not in faith. I was in doubt. I was in unbelief. I wasn't trusting God. So I am repenting simply by being in faith. Because when we say repentance, a lot of times people just think sin. But really unbelief falls under that category.
Yeah.
Doubt, those things. So being in faith this week, that's what one of the things that God's talking to us about is he wants us to repent from not being in faith, from being in doubt, and to be on that path. And so as you're watching today, you may be saying, like, I don't know of anything specific that I need to repent of right now, or I've already repented, or there was something I repented of yesterday, but I don't know, I'm kind of good right now. The Lord was showing me a verse recently, and it's basically, it's Matthew 7:14. Oh my gosh, did you hear that? I almost said 7.
You almost did.
14. She says 14. Anyway, Matthew 7:14. It says, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Repentance is also making a decision that I'm going to stay on the small and narrow road that leads to life. Right now, there's times of refreshing. There's a life that God wants us to have. There's a time of, there's 2024, the year of his presence. But it also means that I believe God is setting us up to make a quality decision beforehand that I'm not getting off this path. That I have a path of faith. Like Pastor was talking, he was ministering so strongly. The anointing was coming forth so strongly yesterday of being in faith. I'm going to be in faith. I'm not going to live by my logic or anything. I'm not going to be in unbelief. So I believe there's a straight path of faith that God wants us in right now, of obedience, of not getting distracted. So even that repentance, you may have already repented, but also it's about making a quality decision of I'm not gonna get off of that straight path as well.
Yeah. Well, and so in this ministry, if you've been here for any length of time, you've had moments where repentance has been needed, where it's been made abundantly clear, I need to change this habit. I need to change this thought that's been coming up in my life, or I need to change just in general. Change is not bad.
Right.
You know, change is not necessarily bad. Change leads to growth. So if a change comes up, that flesh that blocks it and try, like, there are our leadership training tells us that there are three types of people when it comes to change. There are people that resist it, there are people that tolerate it, and there are people who, like, are rejoicing when it comes up. And honestly, the flesh of these bottom two that resist it and just kind of tolerate it but aren't excited about it, if our flesh has been those two, we really need to let the Lord help us with those things, because change is not for my detriment. Change from God will only lead me to increase. If God is asking for me to change, it will only be for my increase. And see, I can sense, even in saying that, there's resistance. Like, I can sense it in the spirit that's saying that there's resistance of logic that says, I've had a change before and it hasn't been good. Well, how much faith are we putting on expecting that something good is coming to me right now? in this change, in this turning, how much expectation have we put? And truthfully, a lot of times we get trapped in the flesh's response to correction. The flesh is has been, up to this point, a lot of times louder than the spirit man has been. So a correction comes, a change comes, a shift needs to be made, and the flesh has a feeling about it. Mm-hmm. And the flesh starts talking, and instead of moving past the momentary light affliction,
right,
and seeing the end from the beginning, we stay at the momentary light affliction and we choose to feel the momentary light affliction. And it just, it's all we can think about. And it's all we can feel. And yet the whole time, Pastor Brian, Pastor Nicole, they're on the other side with Jesus saying, no. I didn't camp out here. Mm-hmm. We go through that mm-hmm. to get to the other side mm-hmm. of victory.
Yeah.
And how do we start doing that? We start doing that by putting expectation on the promise of repentance. Mm-hmm. There's promises attached. Mm-hmm. There's times of refreshing attached, which mm-hmm. Marky just read in Acts 3. We've already touched on it in Hebrews 12:11, that if we'll give mm-hmm. ourselves to the discipline of the Lord, right, that we will eat the peaceful fruit of righteousness. In James 1, we're to consider repentance. We're to consider all correction, any trial, any change that we face. We're to consider it all joy, knowing that it's perfecting me. Romans 8:28 says, God is able to turn all things together for my good. So in the moment when the flesh has a feeling, like go to Revelation 2. Which honestly, pastor, when he preached this, like it changed the entire culture of this ministry and it shifted something in this body. And yet,
yeah,
I mean, just hear it. So in Revelation, it's the letters to the churches. Mm-hmm. It's Jesus talking to the church in Ephesus. Yeah. And this church in Ephesus is doing really good work. Like it's not like they're slacking off and they're just doing nothing over in a corner. Mm-hmm. It says, Jesus is saying to them, I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance and that you cannot tolerate evil men.
Yeah.
And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles and they are not. And you found them to be false and you have perseverance. You've endured for my name's sake and you've not grown mm-hmm. weary.
Yeah.
They're doing things that honestly, the three of us haven't done.
Mm-hmm.
All three of us have grown weary.
Yeah.
All three of us haven't endured without falling. Mm-hmm. You know, they're doing things that Boomerang hasn't done. They're doing good works. But Jesus says, but I have this against you. You've left your first love. They were doing all of these works from a check the box mentality instead of from the place of pure fellowship. They weren't doing it solely because they loved the Lord. They were doing it because they thought it was right. They got into checking off the box and just going through the motions of what love looks like instead of connecting their heart in love to the Father. So he says, Jesus says, remember where you've fallen. Remember from where you have fallen and repent.
Yeah.
Do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. And all Jesus is wanting, it's not that he's wanting them to do more works. He wants them to do it from the position of love.
Yeah. Right.
And he's saying, if you don't turn, the actions can stay the same, but if your heart doesn't have a repentance and a turnaround, I'm going to have to remove you from this place of influence.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to take the lampstand away because I don't want other people following in your footsteps.
Right.
And that's what it was. It was not a punishment. It was protection of others.
Yeah.
People could not come behind Ephesus. He didn't want that replicated. So he's saying repent, but in all of that, it's not from condemnation.
Right.
You hear the lead up is, it's like literally right here, God does the cookie sandwich. Here's all the good you're doing. In the middle, this is what needs to be changed.
Yeah.
But I believe in you.
Yep.
He still sandwiches it in love. It's not like he's like,
Church of Ephesus, you stink. You're the worst. I can't believe you. Mm. Cry for 10 years. Like, go put on sackcloth and ashes because you're the worst. Yeah. Like, he doesn't do that. Yeah. God is so gentle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he wants us to receive that love from him so that he can continue through us to shine his glory.
Yeah.
But if we'll just get stuck on the correction, I got corrected today. I have to change something today. We'll miss the promise that's on the other side of the correction, which is refreshing.
Yeah.
Well, that too, if you're just focused on the irritation of the correction, you're just focused on really how you feel. You're focused on yourself, and that's pride. Mm-hmm. It's pride to just think about, I got corrected. Crap, now what?
Yeah.
Like, it's good to have the perspective of, I got corrected. Look, this church, they're seeing, well, praise God. Praise God he showed me where I can change. Praise God I see now that I'm not going to fall. Like, seeing repentance with an expectation, seeing repentance with a joy. Like, I mean, there's a list that I could give you of things that I'm repenting and turning from and walking in faith on right now. But if I just sat and cried about it in my bed, that wouldn't change anything.
Yeah.
That would negatively impact me, negatively impact everybody that is in my life. This church would have fallen if they wouldn't have changed.
Yeah.
If they wouldn't have changed, then they would have lost all their influence, like you're saying. But seeing it as, it's not my strength. Like, the correction, me repenting, all of it, even my joy is not my strength.
Yeah.
None of it is my strength. It's all his strength. The refreshing comes from him.
Yeah.
It all comes from him and from his presence.
Well, it's like a toy. Have you ever, I know you both have, but the image I had in my head was like one of those wind-up toys that you can like crank the wind-up on and it'll like go, I have a toddler, but it'll go like walking. And like, I'm imagining that Joni just gave Caroline, my daughter, a toy that if you push a button, like the dog will start walking. And Caroline has put the toy like so close to the wall that it'll like waddle into the wall and then just keep hitting its head into the wall over and over and over, and like the song is coming out, but the dog is going nowhere. And who let the dogs out? Well, not the door, because it keeps hitting the door. It's not moving. And like, honestly, that's the image that popped up of what repentance is. Without God leading us through correction, redirection, and change, we'll be that wind-up toy that just keeps walking into the wall over and over and over again. We're exerting energy. We're trying to do what we're made to do. We're trying to accomplish the purpose, and we're smacking our face into the wall time after time after time. Man, why isn't it working? I really don't like my head keep getting hit. Man, what's going on? And God is literally just saying, turn around.
Mm-hmm.
Stop doing that. Mm-hmm. It's not good for you. Turn, and you'll be able to do what you're created to do.
Yes.
Not out of punishment. No. Not because he's a hard taskmaster, but because he doesn't want us to keep running into a wall.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what repentance keeps us from doing, is like, just, I'm starting to kick the table, but like, if I keep stubbing my toe on this table, after a while, it's going to start to hurt.
Yeah.
When I repent and I stop doing this,
right,
my toe immediately is going to have a refreshing come to it. Right. Immediately, it's going to feel a sense of relief, because it was never made to keep stubbing a table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was never made to keep running into a wall.
Yeah.
I was made to hear the correction and enjoy, be like, oh, praise God, there is a much better way of doing this. And it doesn't have to be hard or heavy.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm someone talking after literally over a decade of being with pastors, having them say this to me, doing it wrong over and over, until finally one day it clicked of, there's power and joy that comes from receiving correction and choosing to change.
Yeah.
And life just gets easier. And I can say it with conviction, because I've started living it over the years, and I've realized it really is so much simpler this way.
Yeah.
But it had to be a decision of, I'm not going to listen to my flesh's opinion on the matter anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the person who's malleable and easy to sculpt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. What was coming up to me is, God wants to give us more.
Yeah.
But we have to be stable enough in in our place to be able to handle it.
Yep.
We have to like in this verse and everything, it's talking about the Church of Ephesus and what they have in their hands. You've been here for a while. You've been here how many years? 10 years?
Yeah, just over.
Over 10 years. How many times have you gotten the privilege of being able to see where people had giftings and callings, and you knew that God wanted to bring them into more, and you had pastors' wise counsel over you, helping you as you led people? You had the input from pastors, you had the input from the Holy Spirit saying, these people are called to more.
Yeah.
But because, like that little toy, they're in front of this wall. They're not repenting. They're not turning. God couldn't give them more.
Many times. Many times.
And I would say, honestly, in some way, all of us have been at that point where God wants to give us more.
Yeah.
He wants to give us more responsibility and different things, more blessing.
Yeah.
But I know even me recently, like just recently, I had a moment where pastors and the Holy Spirit were showing me, if you do not change this, God can't give you more.
Yeah.
But it takes a turning. It takes a changing of the way that we've been doing things.
Yeah.
It reminds me of years ago when I first started youth ministry. I got to see this firsthand when you get a little bit of responsibility, or when you start to desire to be used and everything, it's like, okay, I just want so much responsibility. I want to be used so much. And you have this like passion, and am I the only one that, maybe it's a job, maybe it's something, I don't know. And you're thinking, why haven't I been given more responsibility? I can handle it. Why is this person getting promoted and I'm not promoted? I can do this. I've had so many moments where I've thought that, like, why do I not have more responsibility and leadership? And then I would hit a moment a few months later where, let's say I had a temptation of sickness come over my body or something. And I handled it so poorly.
Yeah.
That I remember being in youth where something came up and I handled it so poorly where I was just like, sorry, guys, like, I cannot come to youth. Like, you don't got me. I'm not there. Like, I can't do this. And I'm you know, I'm in pity, and I just, I feel so bad.
Yeah.
And I'm not there to handle my responsibility. And God knew that that's where I was at. Mm-hmm. Pastors knew, leaders knew that I wasn't where I thought that I was.
Yeah.
Temptation came up, and I handled it poorly. I did not stand and hold my faith and everything like that. So God knows that.
Yeah.
So God knows that He wants to bring us to another level, but He also needs us to recognize we may need to grow.
Yeah.
That change may need to come. Or we think we're here. Maybe we're not, though. And He wants us to, when temptations come, when the enemy comes, He wants us to be able to stand firm. But we have to hear this word now, of stand firm. When temptations come up, stand firm. Make sure you stay on the straight and narrow path. Make sure you repent in whatever you need to repent in, because God wants to give us more.
Yeah.
And it's that facing of a reality that's key, because if that toy for the story, it's hitting the wall, and it's hitting the wall, and it's hitting the wall, but its eyes are closed.
It's singing a great song.
I'm doing so good. It's singing a song. I know I'm going somewhere. It's going great. And then it opens its eyes. It's like, oh, whoopsies, there's that wall. And that's that correction. It's that opening of the eyes. It's the opening of the blinders that were trying to be there. When Jesus appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus, I mean, he had a lot to repent over. He was murdering his people, Jesus' people. But Jesus gave him an opportunity. He opened up his eyes to the wall that he was hitting, the wall that he was hitting. But because of the grace of God, he turned from that sin and became, he wrote like a huge part of our word that we have.
Thankfully, he didn't get in pity,
right?
Though. Thankfully, Paul wasn't like, oh my gosh, I'm so awful. If anyone had reason to feel awful about themselves, it was Paul the Apostle, before he was Paul the Apostle, mm-hmm. and was Saul. If anyone could have gotten discouraged and stayed in the pit and everything, it was him. But thank God he did. Right. Thank God he moved on and was able to go into his calling. Because look at what a blessing it's been to us.
Yeah, well, and we've ministered on, actually, when we were going through the book of James, there was a week where, I don't remember if it was just me or just me and Abby, but we went through... what is godly sorrow, godly repentance versus worldly sorrow. And it's not that we don't see and have a heart conviction on it. See, a lot of, I want to make a very clear distinction. God does not communicate through condemnation, but he also doesn't rescue us from the moment of conviction either.
I'm sorry, that one got me.
No. I mean, it's true. He doesn't. Like, God doesn't save us from that moment of conviction.
He doesn't.
Because our actions on earth have weight to them.
Yep. Yeah.
There's not, like, we don't just have a free pass in grace to just do whatever we want to do. Our actions are seed time and harvest. So whatever I do on earth, not only will there be repercussions for it on the earth, I am literally investing in eternity for it. I'm either building the kingdom or I'm hurting the kingdom. And there's a weight, there's a gravity to my life. There should be a weightiness to how I live my life. And a lot of times what we've done is we have chose, as I'm not talking the world, I'm saying believers, a lot of times we've chosen to be the toy whose eyes have come open, and we choose to close our eyes again and just keep walking into the wall because it's familiar and it's what's felt good and it's what we've known and it feels comfortable, and we don't believe in ourselves. We don't really trust the Lord. And instead of taking the step of faith out of the boat, it's, I'm just going to pretend it's not happening and I'm just going to keep walking into the wall. Truthfully, that's what believers have done.
Yeah.
And it's time, just like yesterday. Lord, I see part of what you're doing. Just like yesterday on the word, when God showed us that the anointing had been released to open our eyes, it's time for our eyes to be opened and our actions to change.
Yeah.
Like, our eyes being opened must be accompanied by a faith-filled, repentant action.
Yeah.
When my eyes come open, I must then choose to faithfully repent and do the thing that God's showing me to do.
Yes.
Because that's what true faith is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I love God, I have no other option available to me.
Yeah.
I can't, like, I know that that just took a turn for the serious, but there is a weight to my life on this earth. Yeah. It's not just about me. My life is more than just me. Yeah. My life is more than just how I live. My life is a stone. And when I'm thrown into the river of God, I should have a ripple effect that impacts those around me. And my ripple effects will either be good or it'll hurt someone, truthfully.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be detrimental against the kingdom. Yeah. I don't want to be a dead weight in the kingdom. I want to be used well by the Lord for his glory in this world.
Yeah.
But it comes by me choosing to have the eye-opening moment to not be rescued from conviction, but to use it as a source of fuel.
Right.
Like, that's what true godly repentance is. It means I see what was happening. I receive the weightiness of that action. I receive I receive it as a weight, but I see man, yeah. Barrett, choosing to have sinned, all I did, I added to the price Jesus had to pay on that cross. Right. I added to the stripes that he bore. I added to the blows that he suffered. Mm-hmm. I see that. And that was not a small price that was paid. Right. That was the highest price someone could ever pay so that I could live free. I'm not going to ignore that. Right. I'm not going to turn my back on it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to treat it like it was nothing. And just choose to be blissfully ignorant. Right. There's no bliss in ignorance. There's just ignorance.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to ignore the fact, Jesus, that you bled for me, that you broke your body for me, that you allowed yourself to have the Father turn his back on you for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to forget that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to choose instead to live a life that's going to make the cross easier for you, to live a life that makes your sacrifice worth it for you. To live a life that pleases you, Lord, because I love you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not because he's up there being like, remember what I did, you suckers. Like, God doesn't talk. He's not cruel. Yeah. And he's not harsh. Yeah. He's gentle.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in his gentility, he asks us to remember. That's why we take communion. Do this in remembrance of what I paid for you to have. Yeah. Remember the price that was paid. Remember the blood that was shed. Yeah. Remember.
Yeah.
And choose to live a life worthy of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes me think of what I believe this moment is. And it's funny because, like, last night at the Impact University, what was coming up to me is a lot of what you're saying right now, and you weren't attending last night. You're not a student, so you didn't need to be there last night. You weren't there. Mm-hmm. And what the Lord was showing me personally last night was there are certain things that I've been tempted with, and in some form, kind of subconsciously, kind of accidentally, it's kind of been an option.
Sure.
And what the Lord was showing me was to apply faith to stay on the straight and narrow. Apply faith to not struggle with those things anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what he was showing me. And so this is a message for everybody. Mm-hmm. I believe everybody. There are things that he wants us to grow in. But it's really a thing of joy.
Yeah. Though.
But also what was coming up to me was, like last night, when he asked me to apply faith in that way, that's a strong statement. That's a strong quality decision of I'm not playing around with those things anymore. When they come up, before it's not even, I'm not even being tempted right now. Right now, when I'm strong in my faith, I'm making the decision now to not even go there. And it reminds me of, this is a very weird kind of specific analogy, but How many people have you been in a relationship before where it wasn't a good relationship and you wavered and you knew you were supposed to end it, but you kept having moments where you weren't making the strong, definite decision of this is done. So then you kept going in it and then out of it. And it's like you're kind of straddling it. You're kind of like in the shallow end of the pool, like I'm kind of here, like I'm not supposed to be here, but you know, I'm just in the shallow end, like it's not really a big deal. But that's actually a dangerous place to be in. Even when you walk into the ocean and you're only part way through, one wave comes and the wave can take you under.
Yeah.
So you don't play with that. You don't go if you're not intending to get, like, how many times have you walked into the ocean? And you're like, let me pull up my jeans. I'm going to pull them up here or whatever. And I'm not going to, they're not going to get wet. Like, this part of my leg is going to get wet.
Yeah.
Like, pretty much everyone who's ever done that, you walk into the ocean and then a minute later a wave hits you and you're all wet.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, no, I'm not going to get wet. And then you get wet.
Yeah.
So we have to make a quality decision. And the flesh wants options. The flesh wants to be like, well, let me just not make this extremely definite decision that I can't go back on because I want to be able to kind of do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But how many people have experienced that freedom when you finally end something that you're supposed to, like a relationship or something? I don't know. It could be something else. You finally end it and then this peace hits and it's like, oh, why didn't I do that 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Why didn't I do that before?
Yeah.
And it's, but it's that mm-hmm. definite decision that is necessary. The flesh doesn't want to make it that definite, but it's necessary.
Yeah. Well, and the beautiful thing, the reason that we can be in joy over this whole topic, like, Jules, I appreciated your comment. She's like, even now the temptation is to hide from this conversation. Like, truthfully, thank you for sharing that, because what that is that's a choice to expose something that would try to suck you in and keep you bound. That's bold to put something like that. That's choosing to shine a light. So thank you for that. But the reason that we can have this whole conversation and have such, have these moments of conviction and these moments of talking about something that the world has tried to run from because it feels hard or weighty or scary is because truthfully there is a joy in all of it in that.
Yes.
Jesus already paid the price for us to live completely free. Mm-hmm. Jesus paid the price for us to walk on the straight and narrow path. Jesus did everything it took so that way we could receive the fullness of salvation, the fullness of it. That means I have everything pertaining to life and godliness. Jesus paid for me to have it. So that power that used to bind me, that power was broken by Jesus.
Yeah.
See, before I became born again, I was a slave to my flesh.
Mm-hmm.
I was a slave to sin. But through Jesus, because of Jesus, I don't have to be bought, basically. And I'm not going to use, like, there's a time to use Bible language, but I'm just going to use simple language. Because of Jesus, I don't have to let my flesh boss me around.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to let my flesh be in charge.
Yeah.
Because of Jesus, he paid the price to afford me the power to tell my flesh to sit in time out and to stop talking. He gave me that authority. He gave me that power that when my flesh tries to rise up, I, my spirit man, is the authority in the situation, and I don't have to listen to it anymore. He paid for me to have that. In Galatians 5, it says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery.
Right. Yeah.
See, because God wanted us to live in freedom so much, he paid the price to break anything that was binding me to slavery, binding me to my flesh, binding me to the power and corruption of the world. He broke that off of me. He broke those chains off of my hands. I do not have to approach him that way anymore.
Yeah.
I do not have to walk through my life with my flesh being in charge anymore. My hands were completely unbound.
Yeah.
But when I willingly let the flesh be in charge, I am literally choosing to go back to the place where I was in bondage, where I was a slave. And I'm saying, make me a slave again.
Yes, it seems it seems like freedom to be able to do whatever our flesh wants.
Yep.
That's the deception. Mm-hmm. I'm free to make all these bad decisions.
Yep.
I'm free to not make the right decisions. But that is bondage. That is absolutely bondage to the flesh.
Yeah.
That's a great point, because that's a strong deception.
Okay? Yeah.
I want to give myself the options to do what my flesh wants to do.
And that's why when we turn from doubt and we turn, like, truthfully, you were being really gentle at the beginning, and it's not bad, but truthfully, doubt is sin.
Yeah.
Anything that leads us away from the Lord is sin. And when Jesus paid for us not to live in sin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what binds us. I almost quoted the Lord of the Rings. I'm not. But like, sin is what would bind us to the things that would try and take us to hell. Jesus cut those cords off. He untethered us from that destruction. He untethered us from that place of pain. He completely freed us again so that we could not only live free, but so that we could be given a ministry.
Yeah.
See, those of us who want so desperately to be used by God, and I want the Lord to put me in the ministry, baby, you're in it. You're in the ministry. Yeah. You're given the ministry of reconciliation. Yeah. Yeah. And what is that ministry? Literally, like the image that just popped into my head was you get to be the unfreezer during freeze tag. The world is like bound and frozen in sin. It's tied up. It can't move. We get to be those that get to go around going, freedom, 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 freedom. That's what we get to do. Yeah. But not if we're frozen ourselves. Right. Yeah. And repentance gets us unlocked.
Yeah.
Repentance gets us unfrozen. Mm-hmm. Repentance sets us up to be filled with the fire of God so that we can be let loose on the world and carry with us that same power, that same freedom, that same fire. God's waiting for us to be those who would go into the world with such conviction that we can live free.
Yeah.
Repentance is good. It's not hateful. Mm-hmm. It's not mean. It leads you to life overflowing that you've never, ever, ever, ever tasted.
Yeah.
It's only good. Mm-hmm. And he's just waiting for us to stand firm and don't go back to the place that would freeze us again.
Yeah.
And getting that conviction over sin.
For sure.
Not condemnation over sin.
No.
Not condemnation over sin. There's a conviction from the Lord. Like, I can just sense it. And conviction doesn't bring fear.
Yeah.
Like, right now, what I'm sensing in the spirit, it's not fear.
No.
It's a peace.
Yeah.
God's so good to convict with peace because what his spirit does, his spirit leads you into all truth. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And so our spirits being led by God, that conviction will give you the desire to repent. It'll give you the longing to repent. It'll give you the longing, Lord, I don't want to do anything that would hurt me from you, that would anything that would mess up our relationship. I don't want it. So when he reveals something to you like this, when he reveals something where you can change and you can grow and you can get better, praise God.
Yeah.
It's that you brought up relationships. That was coming up to me too. In any good relationship, you're going to have times where you might butt heads. You're going to have times where you need to come to that person and say, hey, what was going on here? Like, what's going on with you today? Like, you're going to have times where you need to work things out to get back on the flow. And that's all conviction is. It's the Spirit of God dwelling in you saying, hey, this is off. Let's get this fixed so we can be together. Let's get this fixed so we can flow together. Let's get this fixed so you can lay hands on the sick and see them recover.
Yeah.
And in God's mercy, he'll still flow.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, you sinned, so no miracles for you. God's merciful.
Yeah.
He's merciful, but he's longing for honorable vessels. I don't know the reference at this moment, but the scripture says there are some tools that are used for honorable work. God, make me a vessel for your honor.
Yeah.
I want to be so sensitive to your conviction, God, that you can equip me to be that person of honor, to be that person that's full of the fire, that's full of the power of God. I don't want any sin to, and if there's a time where you're calling me to raise someone from the dead, but I'm walking in sin, God forbid it. God forbid it.
Yeah.
Cleanse us, God. Purify our heart.
Yeah.
Repentance is exciting because there's only goodness up ahead.
Yeah.
Only fire. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it can feel awkward to the flesh when it starts. Like, and that's all of this. There's been exhortation. There's been, you know, speaking in. But there's also a practicality to this that we recognize that there can be moments where repentance has a feeling that going to the Lord and saying, like having to go to him and say, I get that I've messed up. I am so sorry. Like, that can feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But we're not our feelings. And it gets easier with time because when you go through something with someone, you get forged in the fire together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, the example, honestly, the two examples that come up to me anytime that this topic gets brought up are George and Abigail. Not together, separately for me. George is my husband. Abby is on the broadcast. She's like a sister to me. Those are the two people that the Lord has used more than anyone else, truthfully, in my life to help sharpen me in ways that my flesh has had reactions to. Go, Abby. But truthfully, like both of them are so different than I am and think differently than I am. And I've done things that have hurt both of them in different ways. And they've done things that like haven't been my most favorite ever. And there's been some need to navigate that relationship. There's been a need to go and say, Abby, I missed this. I am so sorry. George, I've missed this. I am so sorry. And were they always graceful? No, they were not. But what, and I'll just talk from, Abby's not on here, so I'll speak from my side. Was my side always graceful? No, it wasn't. And I'll hone in on Abby because it's not a marriage and I don't want this to be bound by husband and wife. This is relationship that can be a picture of the Lord. When I would go to Abby and say, Abby, I have missed this and I know this has hurt your heart. And even in the middle, when I would try and be defensive about it, of just understand me, Abby. And she would be like, just understand me, Barrett. And it would be this whole thing. What was God doing? He was still forging us together through that moment.
Yeah.
Iron was sharpening iron. We were coming together. And did either of our flesh like it? No, it did not. But did we get stronger through it? Yeah. As I approached her, did I learn she's going to stick even if it feels awkward and our relationship is going to get stronger through it? Do I trust her enough to keep going?
Yeah.
And she would show me a picture of faithfulness. And hopefully I did the same back to her, to the point now where last night, like there were opportunities that abounded all day yesterday through like just through the course of the day. And I literally left the office and I was almost to the point of tears because yesterday there were different points where Abby would come to me and she would say something that would bring me just a little bit of joy and strength. I'd go to her and I'd say something and she'd laugh, or we'd look at each other in meeting and there'd just be like a sense of, okay, I got you. Or like, and it, why was there like that much peace in it? Because God had given me a picture that our relationship was supposed to have a strength and a power in it. Okay. He'd given me that picture. So even though it would feel uncomfortable and it was not my flesh's most favorite thing to do, I saw the end from the beginning and I would say, I'm willing to undergo this situation with you.
Yeah.
I'm willing to have these weird moments. I'm willing to sit down and let you cry and have me, whatever. Yeah. I'm willing for our flesh to do this together because I know that someday there's going to be a power that comes through our relationship for the kingdom.
Right.
And if God will do that with me and a person on the earth, God will more abundantly do that with himself.
Yeah.
If I'll go to him when my flesh doesn't want to and say, God, I missed it for you. I trust you. I know you're forging something in me right now. I don't want to be here, but I am. And I trust that you love me. As I go to him, I'm going to be able to tell time after time, his yoke is easy. His burden is light. He only loves me. He has no plans for my destruction. He will only be gentle with me. Even in correction, there's gentleness in there. He will only give me things that I can handle. Yeah. He will only tell me things that will produce life. I will only excel if I go to him.
Yeah.
And as I continue to go to him time after time after time, it becomes easier to receive that instruction and that correction because I trust it.
Right.
But I've got to be willing to undergo and put my flesh in that position of uncomfortability to learn that God is good. My flesh, again, like we said at the beginning, my flesh does not get a voice in my life.
Yeah.
I need to submit that flesh to go to God and just learn he is gentle.
Mm-hmm.
He is good. He is kind. He is loving. He will always forgive me. I'll endure an awkward moment if it means eternity in bliss with you. I'll endure my flesh being crucified because that's not even the real me.
Yes.
And it'll let me get closer to you. I just want you.
Yes.
Like, and Holly said another great visual. Look, if there's been anything good, it's been the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But truthfully, like, as you were talking about it, I was like, how perfect that just yesterday the Lord showed me how faithful he's been in the 2 years that Abby and I have worked together to get us to a place where there's like, I'm not up here faking a testimony. And then later it's like, that Abigail, man, dang nabbit. No, like genuinely, there's a strength that's come as we've been willing to, and I've had the same with you, I've had the same with you, I have this same with Bud, oh my goodness, Buddy, like he's another one that sharpens because he thinks that so buddy, differently. Oh like, I don't mean that badly, but like God brings different people together to teach us what he looks like and how to pursue right relationship, especially when we've missed it.
Yeah.
He gives us opportunities through others all the time. Yeah. And if I'm willing to do it because I love my brother Buddy,
right.
If I'm willing to do it because I love my husband George,
yeah.
If I'm willing to do it because I love my sisters,
yeah.
Of course, God's going to be even more faithful.
Yeah. Well, while you were talking, what I believe I heard was, what are you willing to fight for?
For sure.
What are you willing to fight for? Like, getting that solid resolution. I am not backing down.
Yeah. But,
and I mean, I'm saying that I had a talk yesterday with my leaders where I said, honestly, the temptation recently has been to just throw my hands up and give up. Honestly, that's where I was.
Yeah.
But this word isn't just for you people. I'm receiving. There's a resolution, a strengthening that's coming that I'm receiving. What am I willing to fight for? I'm reminded of a couple years ago, Brother Ted Sr. was in town. He was doing tent meetings. Do you guys remember that?
Yes.
No,
tell me.
It was
did the pastor give a car there?
He did. Pastor gave him a car.
I love you.
But I was still really new. I was still had a lot of stuff that I needed to repent for. That's for sure. I was just really just like weeding out all the strongholds of my life. I love Jesus though.
You did.
I loved my Jesus. I still do.
You were the happiest golden retriever.
But so I remember there was one night.
I don't mean that dismissively.
Oh,
you were always so happy
and
so loving. I'm not saying you didn't have stuff to work on, but truthfully, like even back then, you were like such a picture of what just childlike joy and enjoying God is.
Praise
like
God.
Even in the mess, and I
so
know that there's been plenty for me too. You really were a picture. Like the girls and I would
Praise
talk
God.
Of. Anna is always the happiest. Like, she's going to be the one to notice the sky today. You did a really good job with that. That's
Praise
innate
God.
To who you are.
Praise God. He's been so good to show me what true joy is and what life is actually meant for. Because for a long time, I didn't know what the heck life meant. But he showed me. Praise God. But so...
I'm serious. I'm having to put down teasing Hannah. It's a sister thing. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to
go. One of the nights... I had this crazy dumb attack on my emotions, and
what the hell?
You just did it. You literally just did it.
Sorry, I'm not talking. You had an attack on your emotions,
guys. Okay,
I took it a very
focused.
And you meant it. I'm so sorry.
I'm focused. And that night when I got home, it must have been the spirit of faith. It's like a strength rose up in me. And I made a vow. I said to the Lord, I will never stop serving you. And I meant it. And I really meant it. And that it was like it was like I repented from the doubt of leaving the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like. No, like I'm making a quality decision right now during this attack that's trying to get me off course. No. And yesterday when I had to have that fun conversation with my leader saying, I wanted to quit. Now I see that was a dumb lie. No.
Yeah.
Like take that thought, throw it down. No, I repent from even entertaining that thought, Lord. I repent right now. I am not stopping.
Yes.
There's a boiling. There's a fervency I have for you, God. No matter what it looks like, no matter how many times Marky teases me, I'm not
Never
giving
stop.
Up.
Do not give up. No matter what.
No matter what.
The teasing attacks may come. Never give up. Keep going. I'm just helping your endurance.
Yes. Yeah. But, and I mean, that's really just the heart of what I wanted to share with that story is, and even in the middle of so many things. Like, that was a special time. Still, deep down in my spirit man knew. And your spirit man knows. Your spirit man knows what you need to stop doing.
Mm-hmm.
Your spirit man knows what you need to stop entertaining, what thoughts you need to stop entertaining. Yeah. You're not dumb.
Yeah.
God wouldn't make dumb people.
Yeah.
Like, you can maybe think on dumb thoughts, but you yourself are not dumb.
Yeah.
Barrett's laughing.
No, that's good, though. Like, when those...
God doesn't make dumb people. That just gave lots of people hope right there. God doesn't make dumb.
No, that's a great point, though. Like, that comes out of our spirits... a lot of times, like, our spirit will be like, okay, I'm making this decision to, let's say it's like, I'm not going to live my emotions anymore. And then afterwards, our brains are like, you're fine. Like, you don't need to really make that quality decision. Like, you're fine. So it's good to probably just go to our leaders and be like, okay, so I had this come up to me, like, I need to make this quality decision. Ask them, like, do you think I need to make it? And they're going to be like, yeah, you do. Yes, was the Lord. That's the voice of the Lord coming out of your spirit. So we got to pay attention. Like, when something comes up, like, even if it's like yesterday we were talking about soda, stop drinking soda. Like, if it's coming out of your spirit, like, you got to listen to it. Like, I don't even want to say that. Like, is that the Lord right now talking to me? I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. Gosh, wow, there's accountability right there. If you see me drinking soda, I don't know. Anyway.
What did you just open yourself up to at lunchtime now?
I know, that's what I was thinking.
I know, apparently I'm drinking water, guys.
Oh, man. I'm so excited for the next time we go out as a church and all the people that are going to immediately look at your choice.
No soda at Pancho Villa's? Is that what's... I mean, that might be what's happening, guys. Maybe. Accountability is a great thing.
Not to the flesh. The flesh doesn't like accountability, but Spirit Man loves it.
Lunch Plus is very applicable.
Guys,
we make it very
honestly,
real.
There are times at Poncho's where I think that making the quality decision to choose a Coca-Cola is better than drinking their tap water.
Hannah! Buddy, we have to put that out.
I
can't have that be on YouTube.
So
can you make a bookmark?
I'm so sorry.
Buddy said, regarding to my soda, Buddy said, I'll just dump it if you order it.
Please do. He carry around a bucket and just dump her drinks.
He would. Like, that's not a joke. I can picture him doing that.
Juliet said, I got sweet tea yesterday instead of soda because of conviction of this broadcast. So thanks for that.
Honestly, like, I know
it's better,
like,
than the chemicals in soda.
I know that's like a joke. Like, it's, I know we're joking, but honestly, like, sometimes the Lord is gonna bring up stuff like that. We're like, we gotta address it, and like, we just want to like hide from it. But
so you were joking that you don't want Buddy to dump out your soda.
I'm just joking. If it's that you the don't Lord, want the guys, we gotta submit. I'm serious. If the Lord wants me to stop drinking soda, I will. And see, that's why right now I have to make a quality decision so later on I won't back off from it.
There it is.
A quality decision? Is this the time that
there
you're...
There it is.
Is this you publicly saying that's what's happening?
I don't know. Maybe? I'm going to keep... you know what I can do? Ask my leaders. Do I need to stop drinking soda? That'll help bring some clarity.
Oh, well. He says, do you think he wants you to drink soda? So with that, thank you for being on the podcast today. Before wave number 2, 3, 7 hits, we're just going to, legitimately, God, we said it on Monday, God will use humor to help the medicine go down.
Yeah.
Like, he'll use that. So let Marky get rid of soda right now.
Like, happened? How did that even happen? It just came out of me. Like, I was literally
decision.
Like, listen to the things that are coming out of your spirit. And then I'm like, I'm not drinking soda anymore. Like, apparently, I hope Abby's hearing this because she's like, really good at being like a accountability person. Abby, you hear this?
Oh, gosh. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this broadcast. Seriously, Lord, I thank you for the fun that we... This is the second time I've hijacked a room to pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your conviction and your joy and your fun.
Yeah.
And, Lord, I thank you that this broadcast that you are leading us to true change, that you're just helping to strengthen the resolve that we've all made to just live for you. And I thank you that together, not separate, We're not a body that's separate. We're a body that's united and bound by Christ. So as a body today, this broadcast is leading us to choose, I'm going to live for you stronger than I ever have before. Yes. And as we unitedly make that decision today, I thank you that there is a grace and greater grace that's coming on the ministry. I thank you that there will be a grace if that word was for Marky or anyone else to not have soda. I genuinely thank you that there will be a grace that way, and it won't be a sacrifice and a penance along the way.
Yeah.
I thank you, Father, that if you're leading this body to live in a way that is holy in mind, in body, in soul, if you're leading us to and convicting us to eat healthier, I thank you that, there's a grace for that.
Yeah.
There's a grace to live in joy. There's a grace to live in grace.
Mm-hmm.
There's a grace to live in grace.
Thank you.
I thank you, Father, for it. I thank you that our people are the most joyful people on the block. I thank you, Lord, that we are the happiest workers that any company, corporation, or ministry could ever have. We are joyful in all that we put our hand to. We are joyful in serving you. And we will be those who are refreshed today. Thank you for your joy, for your easy, for your light. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for it. We thank you that this season is a season of joy, and we're not moving into January and going down. Mm-hmm. We're just living in a constant state of victory and joy by making a decision right now to turn from any state of depression and sorrow.
Yeah.
We turn from those things
and
we turn into joy. We turn from anxiety and we turn into peace.
Yes.
We turn from hard and heavy and we turn into easy and light. We turn from gossip and we pursue unity. We turn from unhealthiness and we move into holiness. We turn and we thrive right now in the name of Jesus.